All right, we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to have readers go through three verses and share a point that they're reading so that they can, if they'd like, and we'll just kind of go around the room. This will give you a chance to we'll work the word together. And bring up some points. I may bring up some points as we go through here, okay? So Jeannie's going to start first, the first three verses, and then we'll carry on from there.
Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law.
Okay.
We are free from the bondage of the law. We don't have that yoke of the law anymore.
Yeah.
We don't need the circumcision.
Right, and that was a huge thing, obviously, the circumcision to show the children of Israel that how unique they were. And it was a big deal, huge deal. But we're not under the law anymore, right?
Thanks.
And so the points being made here, Galatians, by the way, is a reproof book, correction and reproof book, where the believers have gotten it wrong, made mistakes, and so that's the flavor of Galatians, is to reprove and to correct, to get back to right believing. You remember that all Scripture is God-breathed, right? Mm-hmm. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, which is instruction for righteousness. And so you see these kind of flavors in the different church epistles as we study those. And here in Galatians, that's the case here. Okay? And, okay, next, Judy.
We can stop. Verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So he's giving us solutions here. Or, you know, first it was what not to do.
Right.
And so in verse 5 it says, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And then in verse 6 at the end it says, but faith which worketh by love. So those are the
key points. Yeah. So believing works by what?
Love.
Love, the love of God. You know, when we operate the love of God, our believing can be greatly enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. Huge. So that's a great, great verse there. Okay, Shati.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is from Jebuson. Well, could it hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion commit not of him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump.
I'm glad I didn't get closer.
There's not a whole bunch there. But read the next verse.
Thank you. I have confidence. confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be.
Oh. So, yeah, I think in that it talks about 11 the whole law, and a part of the law, if you start doing the law, it's just going to get messy again. It's just going to be too much. And so he has confidence in them through the Lord that they don't get back to the old law, but follow faith that comes by love.
Yeah. I have the NLT, and it's a little, more understandable. Can I read it?
Yeah.
Same verse 10.
Yeah.
I am trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand
this.
Me too.
Thank you,
Julie.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So, verse 11 and on, Charlie.
Okay, verse 11. This is the Kenneth Copeland Word of Faith Study Bible.
Yeah.
So it's...
I'm not sure what version that is. Is it King James or New King James?
Yeah, I think it's King James, though.
Yeah.
So it says, brothers, if I am still teaching circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I wish that those who are troubling you would castrate themselves.
Whoa. Okay.
You got one more verse. One more verse.
I want. You, brothers, have been called to liberty. Oh. Only do not use liberty to give an opportunity to the flesh, but by love cease one another. Serve one another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not want to use liberty to give off any good thing, but you love service one another.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's a great, great truth, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
By love, we serve
one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a question.
Yeah.
What does it mean when it says, do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh?
Well, we have freedom, the grace. We're not under law, so we're free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do we take advantage of that?
No.
No, we don't want to take advantage because we're not under the law. So don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh to take advantage of it. So if that does that kind of
so don't take advantage of grace.
Yeah, don't make advantage of grace. Yeah, yeah. That's the you know this again. This is in the flavor of reproof and correction. So that's why we have some of these. We get into some of this stuff. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Correction.
Yeah. Okay.
Verse 14.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we're walking in the Spirit of God, we're loving one another, we're doing the Word, then we are not going to fall into the lust of the flesh. We're going to continue in the grace of God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glad I did.
Verse 17.
For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are, it's a few verses, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness,
yeah,
et cetera,
et cetera. Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff. So anything in there that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I mean, just the battle of old man nature versus new man nature, you know, kind of spin that off as good versus evil, immoral versus moral.
Huge. Yeah, that's big. Yeah. Daniel's got the rest of the immoral verses, huh?
Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance.
No, yeah, okay.
Against such there is no law. I had to finish this.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, stay away from those things. But then, there you go. Fruit of the Spirit.
The Spirit.
Yeah. Fruit of the Spirit. I mean, there's the fruit of the flesh. The works of the flesh that's manifest, and they list it out, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. So when you walk by the Spirit, operate the Spirit in your life, you're going to experience fruit, right? And there's some great fruit there.
But I think not only will you experience that, people will see that reflected off of you.
Right on.
See that love, that joy, that peace.
There's
something different about that guy or girl, and I want some of that.
It's a great witness. People see the fruit in your life probably before they see the actions you take, you know, that produce it. But yeah, big time.
It's like the seed they're planted in, if they don't see the seed in you. But the manifestation of the seed in you grows into these things that you see. Like you bury a seed in the backyard. Guess what I got buried there? I don't know. But when the fruit comes out, you see it.
Exactly. Right on. All right. Finish this up.
Come on, 24. Or the 23. 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. We died with him, we were buried with him, and we were risen with him. And so this is along those lines. So, when we are in Christ, we've crucified our flesh, the fleshly things, with the affections of lust. I'm going to go verse by verse. And lust is not just sexual things. It's lust of overindulging in anything, okay? People associate that word lust with sexual activities or sexual things, but it's much, much more than
bigger,
that.
Bigger, yeah.
Okay? 25. If we live in the Spirit, and the Spirit lives within us, we know that, let us also walk in the Spirit. You go to a store, you buy a brand new pair of pants or a dress, you put it on, you stand still, you move up, you walk with it. You want people to see just how nice that looks, and you want to enjoy that also. 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It takes discipline. period. Mm-hmm. God never said these would be easy under certain circumstances. When people are treating you nice, guess what? It's easy to give them the fruit of the good fruit, right?
Yeah.
But when they wrong and stuff like that, you kind of want to withhold that and save it for a rainy day. But no, it takes discipline to still be who you are, mm-hmm. a son of God, with all these wonderful attributes that he lists here. And there's no law against him. There's no law. Oh, you can't be nice to someone. There's a law about that. No. We're not under the law, period. What we're under is the grace of God. And he wants us to demonstrate those things that he's instilled in us through the fruits of the Spirit and his word. So anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Right on. Yeah, it's the challenge for the believer is to walk by the Spirit that God has given them. We've been living a flesh life, right? And we still do. And so that's quite a challenge, isn't it? Living the flesh life or the Spirit life? And we want to live the Spirit life. That's what really, where we get, we're going to have fruit evidence. And we're going to be the greatest blessing, not only to ourselves, but to one another. You know, it was interesting in the garage group. We were, you know, the question came up, well, how do you live the Spirit? What is it to live the Spirit, you know, and have the Spirit working in you? And what do you do? What is this like? And people shared a number of different things. And one of the guys, he had his guitar. We sang some music, and he had his guitar leaning up against the table in front of him. And he says, this is kind of how I've been looking at my old guitar. This thing was 50 years old. But it was, at one time, pretty good shape, really a nice guitar, and yet it was kind of beat up and marked and everything. And so, you know, he analogized that this guitar, and I'm kind of adding some of my words to this as well, you put brand new strings on there, and play that guitar, and it's just going to sound beautiful, right? Now, if you have that old strings are still on there, the old guitar, it's kind of like the old flesh life. But we've got new birth. We've got Spirit. We have a whole new creation in Christ. And so I see, like, new strings on there. And so what are you going to do with it? Play it.
Yeah.
You use it to produce beautiful music. And so spiritually, how do we live the Spirit? What else could we do to live a spiritual life? Now, I mentioned manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of it. What else do you think? Any thoughts?
Praying.
Yeah. Praying is huge. Mm-hmm. What about studying God's Word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Studying God's Word.
Renewing your mind
to what the Word says. The Word is spiritual food, right? Okay. Man can't live by burritos alone, right? This is Southern California version. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so we study the Word, we read the Word, we put the Word on in our life. And that's part of living a spiritual life. And utilizing the Spirit, we operate manifestations. We speak in tongues, right?
Did you done that?
Oh, yeah. They don't kind of get it all, but yeah, it's, and those are the part of the nine manifestations.
I've seen many a professional artist with their guitars or what have you, saxophones, and then they do a close-up of the saxophones. It's all tarnished and stuff, but they're blowing beautiful music out of that saxophone. The guitar has got all kinds of battle wounds. Yeah, they put new strings on it, and it still sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
So you could say, if we're doing an analogy with the guitar, we're the body of the guitar. Our vocal cords are the strings in the guitar. And to let God's word be known, you got to strum them. You got to play them. You got to speak, cool. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, we have our physical bodies, and
they get old.
It gets old, and we've got scars and stuff, but.
Our vocal cords always work.
But, yeah. But we have the spirit in us, the eternal life. Okay.
Can
I mentioned about folks that are calling in. If you would like to share what we read over, so does somebody like to do that?
I would.
Okay, who we have here?
That's me, Joellen.
Bless your heart, yes. Please share. Go ahead.
Cool.
I
found that if I don't spend time intimately talking to the Lord, praising Him, and in prayer, I need to hear His directions and His commands, and the fruit comes better if I've been intimate with the Lord. And I think of this song, and He walks with me, and He talks with me.
Beautiful.
And I can't think of the rest of the words of the song, but as a child, I used to go out and sing to the Lord that very song. And now I have different songs, but that's what comes to mind right now. It's intimacy with the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the Lord is the orchestrator of the fruit. We just are a conduit, I feel.
Amen.
Well, thanks for sharing. Bless your heart.
I'll be praying for you, honey.
Yeah.
Did anybody else that was on the conference call like to share a verse that we read that kind of touched your heart?
Paul?
Yes, Norma.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that if we know that God is love, and we talk about the Spirit, so if the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, and faith. So as a result, once we try, like you said, it's a challenge, but we have to keep going on working on this, trying to show this fruit of the Spirit, because we have it in us. And as a result, as well, I mean, God is love. So in one or another way, once we have the Spirit, at the same time, we also, by practicing the speaking in tongues, we are going to have this, actually, we will have this communication with Him directly. So,
yes.
In consequences of this, so He's going to guide us in the best way through this use of this these manifestations of the Spirit. So I think that this is just great.
That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that, Norma. Anybody else?
We were talking about guitars, but if you use the analogy of a tree starts from a seed and then gets strong, but it has to be maintained and watered and taken care of so that it will blossom and have that fruit. But if you leave it out, you don't water it, you don't give it any nutrients, you're not going to see the fruit. That's the same with our lives. If we don't Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And the word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We have to take on the vitamins of God's word, or the truth of it, the nutriments of it, and know who we are in Christ. And then that fruit will abound. We have papayas that are growing now. We've had a tree for how many years?
3 years.
3 years, and Bob protected it with plastic. He built a whole cage around it and put plastic around it so the winds wouldn't, the wind and the creatures and everything and the cold. And now we're seeing the fruit, so it's really cool. But we have to nurture our own bodies. It's the temple of the Lord with the word of God.
Yeah, amen.
Father, well, we had all this stuff growing in the backyard when I was growing up. I can remember by the corner of his garage, he had a 55-barrel drum. And not all the time, but a lot of times, it almost been filled with water. And I'm like, what is that? You know, why does he fill that up? So I told my dad, I said, hey, I want to help. He says, okay, we got to water these trees over here. He's got an order that we go in. So I started grabbing the water. No, not with that. And I go, but the tree getting water from his hose. He goes, see that barrel filled with water? Use that. I said, well, the hose is heat. Use that water. He goes, that water's from God. I said, what? He goes, that's rainwater. It's better than any water that we put chlorine and all these other chemicals in there.
Point, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you look at his plants, they're all very vibrant. The leaves are green. The fruit is luscious and everything. There's not bad fruit going anywhere. And so he had this pot. He's going to just fill it up with water from that drum, you know.
That's
all we do. We use, that's God's water. That's true. He didn't know a lot about God, but he knew that much.
Yeah.
That water's coming, you know. So, yeah, and the results of his fruit were they were the best.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's right. That's great.
Good. Well, great stuff, huh? God's word's wonderful, and we just want to keep putting it on in our lives so that we can walk by the Spirit. Okay, so Father, thank you for the fellowship tonight and for the privilege of getting into your word. Thank you for this wonderful book of Galatians that we can read and see some great, wonderful truths. That truly the Spirit makes all the difference in the world, and we can walk with the love of God that's bigger than any law or anything else that's out there. And we can manifest your love and bless others, walk by the Spirit and have the fruit just multiplied in our lives so that not only we're blessed, but it'll bless many others as well. So thank you for the richness of your word living in our lives. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.